Alternate Take. I am your host, Daniel Rodriguez. Welcome back to the show. Our guest today does not need any introduction. However, we'll give him one anyways because he's a legend. Dr. Peter McCullough. Now, Dr. McCullough was made famous, I would say, due to the Joe Rogan podcast back in 2021. I believe like early December 2020, or maybe even like November. And around 2 weeks after he came on, or went on Joe Rogan's podcast, he came on our podcast. And we've made a good touch ever since. He's a good friend of mine now, and he's just a hell of a guy to talk to about so many things related in the science world. And my favorite thing about him is that he breaks it down very easily for everyone to understand, you know. And the good thing about podcasts is if you don't understand, well, just push rewind, man. You'll get it eventually. But the dude is so well knowledgeable. We went over all of his credentials and everything that he's talked about within the last 3 or 4 years and how he literally wasn't wrong about anything, which is bananas. And we talked about his new book that he just co-wrote with John Leek called The Courage to Face COVID-19. I put the link in the podcast description, so go check that out. And it was a great time catching up with the doc, so I'll stop boring you guys to death. Without further ado, I bring to you the amazing Dr. Peter McCullough.
Alternate Take, what is up, you guys? We brought you guys the best doctor in the world, at least in my opinion. We brought you guys Dr. Peter McCullough. How you doing, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Of course. It's good to have you back. We've had you on before, and man, every time we get to have you on, it's always a pleasure. People get excited. I do. It's things that we get to talk about that I don't get to talk about normally with my friends, mostly because we're all a bunch of goons and we don't have the IQ of you, sir. So it's good to have you here and to give the knowledge that we don't have.
In many ways, you know, it's really not about IQ. It's about common sense. And that's what we've learned through the pandemic. So many people have lost their anchoring in terms of what would make sense. Many have just blindly accepted whatever's come down the pike.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And it was actually kind of strange during that whole time to rely only on that as your only weapon, because there's a lot of people that are, I guess you could say, are highly educated, and we're using that as their weapon. You know, hey, I'm educated in this field, and that's why you're dumb, because you're only using common sense. And you're like, well, yeah, that is kind of a good burn. It's hard to like argue with that, because you're like, well, my common sense is telling me that even though you're educated, this still sounds ridiculous. But you know, we got through it, and with the help of people like you. And I wanted to pick up from there. I wanted to pick up from what this start of 2023 has been like for you so far. I know we caught up in at the end of 2021, and we're going over everything that went over, like you just had, we're on Joe Rogan, went over those things, and your life was pretty busy in 2022, which is incredible. And I saw you at every conference, and I saw the skeptics starting to actually listen a lot more to what you had to say, as to where opposed from the beginning they weren't. Tell us what the latest has been for Dr. Peter McCullough.
You know, I've given more media appearances, more analyses, more written analysis on the pandemic, and you know, made my opinions very public and memorialized in these clips than anybody, more than Anthony Fauci or Rochelle Lewinsky, Robert Califf, Ashish Jha. These are all the government officials at the agencies, more than Trump or Biden or Pence or Harris, all of them combined. They haven't given as much media time or couldn't be called on any statements as much as I could. And you can't find a highlight reel where I was wrong. You can't find a series of statements where I'm completely wrong and discredited. It's never happened. In fact, I haven't flip-flopped on any issues. What I say on masking now is what I said 3 years ago. What I said on natural immunity now is what I said, you know, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and evolved. And of course, my analysis on the virus has changed as it's mutated, and my understanding of the vaccines and the safety profile we've seen has evolved as more information has come out. But at this point in time, you can't find a highlight reel. No one's ever made a highlight reel. And boy, you've seen highlight reels of Fauci and Walensky, and they are horrendous. Of them flip-flopping on issues. You've seen, for instance, Biden and Harris saying they would never take a vaccine from Donald Trump, as an example. Never. And then you see a complete flip-flop where they're mandating that same very vaccine on the public. So we have a situation here of credibility. I'm coming out on top, and the public knows it.
Yeah, no, we definitely know it. And it's why it's been so comforting for us. I mean, it's rare to see, I guess, emotional decision-making in the medical field. It's not really, it's something you would see on Dr. House. It's something you would see on TV shows. And then it seemed to be very apparent over the last couple of years where it was appealing to emotion rather than appealing to science. And it was strange because we are emotional human beings. So we're gonna buy into that, you know? Especially when it comes to somebody who's not necessarily meant to be emotional. Like if a doctor tends to get emotional, that's a surprise to us because we're like, oh, he must be really serious then, because doctors aren't supposed to do that. And that's what all the doctors pushing vaccines and everything were doing. They're using the emotional appeal. If you don't do this, people will die, including you. And that's that wasn't really based on science. It was just based on emotion. And it was just based on trying to, I guess, in a bigger sense, control people. And it was very strange. And you seem to be one of few that was only that were not doing that. You, including yourself, Dr. Malone, Dr. Cariotti, I'm missing a lot of other people. And yeah, we definitely appreciate it. It's crazy. You're right. I haven't seen anything like that. There's been people that tried to say, oh, this guy's a liar. And then it's very easily debunked because you see their articles are garbage and they're not really saying anything that makes any sense.
Well, one thing we've learned, though, is to never trust fact checkers. So there's, PolitiFact and Full Fact and fact checkers. They're simply paid false counter statements and false counter claims. They're funded largely by this biopharmaceutical complex that we outline in my book, Courage to Face COVID-19. It's a very powerful syndicate, at the top, World Health Organization, World Economic Forum, Gates Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, Wellcome Trust, Gavi, CEPI, Unitaid. They're actually all working together to promote vaccines. And so what they've said is the enemy for them is what they call vaccine hesitancy. So anything that would reduce someone's proclivity to taking a vaccine, they will attack. And they've openly funded, for instance, a collaboration with Stanford and University of Washington called the Virology Project, a Virality Project. And so they are simply making false claims about the vaccine. University of Washington Information Center was promoting the vaccines in pregnant women very early in 2021. You know, we didn't have any, and we still don't have any assurances that it's safe. We have a paper actually by Thorpe and colleagues showing it's grossly unsafe to give vaccines to pregnant women. But yet, you know, internet, social media, educational units out there co-opted by the biopharmaceutical complex pushed the false narrative. And virtually every fact check claim is false, and it's unverified and comes from uncredentialed people. When someone says fact check, the question is, who wrote that fact check? And most of the time they're anonymous or they don't have any credentials. They certainly don't have credentials that I have.
Right. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I'm glad you mentioned your book too. I just picked up a copy. It's tremendous. I'm already on it. And congratulations to you and John Leake. It's great stuff. I wanted to get to, not necessarily vaccine injured yet. I want to get to vaccine injured later on, but I wanted to get to, there's a lot of people out there, and I speak to them on the regular that are talking like just regular human beings that have gotten the vaccine, and haven't had any effects yet, but definitely fear it, are definitely having, regrets taking it. And they've had small effects such as like, I get sick way more often. Like I used to never get sick. I used to always get sick, you know, once or twice a year. Now I'm sick like once a month. And I don't know if that's related, but like maybe it is. Are there things these people can do to minimize any vaccine effects? I know a lot of people are like, what if I just, you know, get a blood clot all of a sudden? What if I just get this? Like, what do I do to, is there anything I can do to help myself get through this time? Because they're feeling nervous, you know?
Let's take adult Americans. On the CDC website, they indicate that 92% of adult Americans have taken a vaccine. We've recently learned that's not true. And a giant study from Northeastern University and Harvard called the COVID States Projects did a big sampling, 25,000 people, And the estimate is only 75% of people took a vaccine. Thank goodness. So we have a full 25% are unvaccinated. And what was going on with the CDC is that they didn't have the old vaccine card, or if people went to a different place to get a shot, they were actually just starting a new card and counting this as a new person for the booster. That's what was going on. So the CDC was overstating it. 25% of people are not taking a vaccine. Hallelujah. They're not going to take it. That's a large minority. They're healthy. They're strong. And I don't know anybody now unvaccinated who's going to start a vaccine series with COVID. No one. But 75%, as you intimated, took the vaccine. Large numbers of people have regret. Only about 16% of people are taking a booster. About 10% of nursing home workers, healthcare workers don't want it. So majority of people have some regret. What we know from the Zogby survey last summer is that 85% of people are fine. So let's take those. I think those people are fine. Nothing is needed. They're fine. Their body probably has handled it okay, and we shouldn't be looking over our shoulders. But 15% have some new medical problem. The first point is the toxicity is probably cumulative, and we should not take any more shots. That should be apparent. Somebody already has heart inflammation or a blood clot or neurologic damage. Don't take any more shots. The second point is to be vigilant for the emergence of complications, chest pain, leg swelling, numbness, and tingling, and then seek medical care. We're actively looking at detoxification strategies. I can't make any therapeutic claims, but the lead compound now is nattokinase. Nattokinase is a derivative of the fermentation of soy. It's a Japanese innovation. It's been on the supplement market for decades. It is safe with a few caveats about soy allergies, but it's been shown in one very solid preclinical study to dissolve the spike protein. The spike protein is produced by the genetic vaccines, which last a long time in the body. The spike protein lasts even longer. So many now are moving to nattokinase. The lead supplement is actually offered by the wellness company, twc.health.com, and it's called Spike Support Formula, twc.health.com. I advise the company as the chief scientific officer.
Wow. Yeah, see, that is great information. That's something I would have never known. And it's something I would imagine a lot of people are willing to take the chance. Like, hey, if this has been around for such a long time, and I am having these little small effects, why not? Why not give it a shot? I mean, you gave it a shot with the vaccine. You may as well just give it a shot with this to see if, you know, this pans out.
That's a good point. I mean, we know that clinical development would take about 20 years. We'd be about 5 years away from large randomized trials. People are saying they can't wait if it looks safe and we've got a good supportive rationale for it. So that's the lead compound right now in the wellness company formulas devised by Dr. Jennifer Vandewater in the wellness company as a pharmacist. It includes selenium and a few other key Japanese supplements, products, actually natural products. So it's very interesting that the spike protein was devised in the lab in Wuhan, China. It was engineered with U.S. research by Dr. Ralph Barrick at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. NIH funded the whole thing. So the vaccines are genetic. They're completely synthetic, unnatural products. The spike protein, very unnatural. And yet our main approaches to deal with it are natural products. Isn't this interesting? With SARS-CoV-2 infection, the natural products of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin were principal treatments. And now with the vaccine, a natural product, nattokinase. I mean, isn't that ironic?
Definitely. Definitely. I wanted to see too what you thought about now that there's so much more research that's irrefutable or refutable in general of all the things that we've come across. How have you had any friction with the universities now? Because I know initially they were the biggest opponent of what you had to say. And basically everyone they were teaching in medical school was the opposite of what you and a lot of these other heroic doctors were saying. Have they admitted they're wrong now? There's been representatives from universities that have talked to you, you know, maybe even in good faith, you know, behind closed doors and said, hey, man, I was wrong about a lot of things. And thank God you did what you did, yada, yada, yada. Or is it still very much we're on different sides about this? And that guy is a jerk and he says whatever, you know, yada, yada.
I've never been confronted by someone at my stature, not a single chief of medicine, not a single division head of infectious disease, not a single dean or provost. No one's actually even sent me a bad email or a bad text message. So, you know, I think they are cowering in fear. They know that I'm right. They know they've taken a bad position. They've moved from promoting these vaccines now to a situation where there's no mention of the vaccines. So in these large medical centers, it's simply no mention. People will come in with a blood clot and no one will mention the vaccine. We're going to have to move to a phase where there is recognition and honest recognition that the vaccines are causing these problems. There's over 1,700 papers in the peer-reviewed literature, and the FDA agrees the vaccines cause heart damage or myocarditis, blood clots, neurologic damage, small fiber neuropathy, seizures, Guillain-Barré syndrome, and they cause immunologic syndromes called VITT and MIS. The FDA agrees on this. Now we need the medical centers to start recognizing it and then putting it on the chart. Patients still tell me every day they're being gaslit by medical systems, ERs, doctors. They come in with obvious vaccine injuries and no one will mention or document that the vaccine is the cause.
Yeah, and it's something that I know we've been over before. We mentioned the hubris of the medical field to use that claim that I'm in the medical field. That's why I'm right about this vaccine things. I'm a nurse, trust me, I know. And it's really unfortunate because they do really take advantage of these people who aren't well informed, who are, a lot of them are, you know, yes, willfully ignorant, but a lot of them are, you know, maybe your first generation, you know, maybe you're going in, you know, English is not your strongest language. And then you're just getting scared to death by these people at the ER or wherever you go. And, you know, you just do whatever you got to do. And it's really unfortunate because it's happening. It still is happening. I see it all the time. You know, I still talk to medical professionals all the time with my line of work. And they're still hell bent, you know, they're still hell bent. And it's very strange. I don't even know how we get to either them or the young generation on how to accept common sense. Like you said, I don't know if that's even, I know it's possible, but it's just hard to get the epiphany into their head with like, oh, wow, I have been wrong. I don't know. Are there approaches you guys take different? I mean, I know like the truth should just set everybody free in general, but are there approaches that you, like on conferences that you're giving to targeted audiences to maybe change their mind or something like that? Because I know most people that go to your conferences will probably be, I mean, people that highly support you and definitely are like willing to, are read your book or like super excited to hear what you have to say. But are there people attending that are not necessarily fully convinced?
There are. And I think the mechanism is what we call continuing medical education, CME, and then medical grand rounds. We need to have medical grand rounds on vaccine injury syndromes. Myself and other doctors are, you know, eminently qualified to present on the issue. I'm a cardiologist, so I'm very comfortable presenting on the problem of the cardiac effects of the vaccine, the myocarditis, heart damage, the progression of atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and heart attacks provoked by the vaccine, stroke, intracranial hemorrhage and bleeding, as well as what's called POTS, postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. This is the cause of people passing out. Have you seen these highlight reels of all these people on the media? Just dozens of them passing out on camera.
Oh, yeah.
We've never seen that before. Most of them are not having cardiac arrest. They're actually just passing out due to POTS.
Wow. Extremely crazy. I've seen a lot of that. I've seen the athletes. I've seen everything. And it's really strange. I don't even know how to like combat. Like if it's something that's like, oh, I don't just have the flu. Like, no, dude, you passed out. This is, it's really crazy. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and on camera, I mean, it's caught on camera. But let me just comment about the athletes. So since, you know, I was called on Fox News within 24 hours of Damar Hamlin, Buffalo Bills, having a full-blown cardiac arrest. And I was the only doctor in the country who got on TV. And I told the nation he was going to recover. He's going to walk out of the hospital. I mean, so if America should have no reservations in trusting me as giving the correct information. So when he was in the ICU on the ventilator, I told America he's going to walk out of the hospital. I'm a cardiologist. I know my facts. And he was, you know, received great treatment. I knew he was going to recover. But the second thing I said is, listen, I need to know if he took a vaccine because the vaccine causes myocarditis. And if he had myocarditis, he can't play. The guidelines say if somebody has myocarditis, they can't play. It's straightforward. When the NFL mandated the vaccines on the players, The NFL said 95% of people took vaccines in the league from August of 21 to March of 22. So they had got the vaccine. And, you know, prominent players didn't, like Aaron Rodgers or Cole Beasley. But the bottom line is, if a small fraction has myocarditis, they can't play. They're at risk for sudden death. And that's what happened to DeMar Hamlin. And I've made the case that, listen, they need to open up these vaccine records. The CDC database on who took the vaccine needs to be open to us. We have to know, because people are pouring in with cardiac arrests. We're hearing about cardiac arrests with pilots, other key people. With sports, John Stockton in the United States, a former Utah Jazz star, great. He's keeping track. He thinks at the college and pro level, we got about 300 cardiac arrests. And now in a scientific paper by Polycretis and myself, published in the in a European Journal of Immunology, we report that before COVID, the number of cardiac arrests in the European soccer and rugby leagues under age 35, active players, pro and semi-pro, that number per year was 29. Now, an apples-to-apples comparison, after the vaccines, that number is now 283. It's roughly tenfold higher rates of cardiac arrest in athletes. And it is myocarditis, because we knew before COVID that if they get myocarditis of any type, it can trigger a cardiac arrest during sports.
Right. Yeah. And it's incredible how directly correlated they really are, considering the high levels of nutrition and training that we have today in sports. If you're 7 or 8, you're getting told how to eat a animal-based diet, you know, and you're not eating Captain Crunch like you did, you know, like 30 years ago, or even just like the most basic stuff that we weren't eating, or that we were eating 30, 40 years ago, that was terrible for you, that we didn't know. So like, people's diets are better than ever, especially athletes. Yes, obviously we have an obesity thing going on, but that's people that are willfully ignorant, essentially. But these athletes aren't. These athletes are eating the best things in the world, and somehow their heart conditions are going up. So it's even more evidence to prove that, okay, yeah, there's other outside factors that are attributing to this myocarditis, to these guys passing out, to these things, that has nothing to do with their general health, which is absolutely. I wanted to ask you too, sir. I notice now that they're trying to find something else to start pushing. It's like small things, and sometimes they stick and sometimes they don't. But and I know that's not your line of work. Like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist really, but are there things that you're looking for, or at least predicting factors of the new thing that they're trying to push? I think everyone's worried about that. Okay, COVID's over, but what's the next one? And what's the next thing that they're going to start doing? Because I know for a while there was monkeypox, and after that there was another one. I forgot what it was. And it's like do these things seem desperate to you? Do they have any truth in science, or are there what should we look forward to as citizens?
In my book, Courage to Face COVID-19, we outlined that there's a biopharmaceutical complex, that there is this advanced worldwide organizational syndicate. And they are using biological threats, medical emergencies worldwide, as a mechanism of control, what's called the Great Reset, actually establishing a new world order. So they need medical emergencies. You've already seen the next one come out, which was monkeypox. You mentioned it. You know, the WHO said it was a worldwide emergency. President Biden said it was a national emergency. We are under a national emergency. And what we learned there is it's all about the media. Experts like myself came out. We said, listen, you know, it's no emergency. We can handle this. It's treatable. This is what we do. And, you know, from the very beginning, we got ahead of the narrative, and the fear never spread. People, vaccines were offered. People didn't take them. The cases were easily treated. It basically became, from human to human spread, it became a sexually transmitted disease. And it fell out of the media cycle quickly, because I was out there with others on day one giving the correct analysis. And then with little fanfare, January 31st of 2023, monkeypox was dropped as an emergency. Never even made the news. Dropped by the Biden administration, HHS. You didn't even hear about monkeypox anymore. So I think there will be more attempts, and to try to create this national fear and promote more vaccines, but it will fail if we get ahead of it with, you know, with reasonable reporting, you know, independent media like yours, which has now become so terribly important.
Oh yeah, so important. I mean, just off our first episode, which we did in December 2021, I asked you specifically, what can we do as regular human beings, regular citizens of America, to go just to go over the counter? What's your over the counter survival kit? And your answer was very straight. It was very direct. And I told everybody I know. I told friends, family, and it was interesting to see some appreciate it. And go, you know, wow, thanks. And some not really care because they were just still consumed by fear. It was very strange. In my world, it felt like, you know, I grew up playing baseball. In my world, I'm like, I just got baseball lessons from Mike Trout, and now I'm giving you these lessons. Like, and you want to play baseball, and I'm telling you, dude, this is straight from the best guy in the game right here. This is, he's telling you to do this, and you can get to the pros. And you're like, ah, whatever. And some were like, oh my God, thank you. I've been trying to get to the pros this whole time. This is the best thing. I appreciate it. So, yes, the independent media has been very helpful. It's been helpful for me. I mean, I couldn't appreciate more your work of what you've done for us. I mean, me and my friends and family have been very grateful.
Thank you.
Absolutely, sir. Well, what's next for you going forward? I know that you still have your companies now. I mean, now it's, I mean, when I first spoke to you, I mean, it was growing. Now you're like on top of everything, sir. It's unbelievable. I know you got your book. I know it's not customary to ask somebody when's your next book, because you're like, I just took all this time to make this one, man. Just enjoy this one first before you start getting to do another one. But is there anything in the works? Do you have any plans going forward that we should know about?
John Link and I are working on a second book, which will focus on the vaccines and really this worldwide calamity, all of them. You know, it's about a dozen or so vaccines and how they became used as an instrument of coercion and then human suffering and sadly death after vaccination. This is a crime. And the two crimes committed are fraud and mass negligent homicide with the vaccines. And this will be fully exposed in our book. The first book took a year to write. 300 references, over 300 pages. It's a 5-star bestseller. And the book is written as a gripping, page-turning narrative. It's not a boring medical book. People need to read something that really moves. It takes a couple hours to read. And I encourage everybody to pick up a copy of Courage to Face COVID-19, Preventing Hospitalizations and Deaths While Battling the Biopharmaceutical Complex, couragetofacecovid.com. Other things I'm doing, John Leek and I are launching a TV show on America First Network, AFN. And you'll see us on there once a week called The Second Opinion. It's going to be a terrific program. It's going to be wide ranging from, you know, medical, environmental, geopolitics. I remain in clinical practice here in Dallas and spend the other time in scholarship and in speaking. You can go to my website, petermccullohmd.com. That'll take you everywhere over social media. I have a podcast, America Out Loud Talk Radio, McCullough Report. And one of the most popular podcasts now in the world. It's audio. And I interview people from all over the world as we advance and emerge and close this pandemic. And I think you're right, become you know, ready to face the next one. And then I have a Substack. I started the Substack during my imprisonment from Twitter. And Substack became very, very popular. It's a way to get out highly referenced, cited, factual information. It's called the Courageous Discourse Substack. Very, very popular. Again, you can get to all this on my website, petermccullohmd.com.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I'm looking forward to that next book. And if I had one recommendation, I offered that autographed copy of that book, because I'll definitely purchase that for sure. I was looking for the first one. I was like, dang it. So I got on Amazon. I'm stoked. It's a great read so far. I'm looking forward to all those things. And I'm always sending people your way, sir. I mean, you're a hell of a guy, and I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. This has been Ultimate Take. We'll see you guys later. Peace.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Our interview with the great doctor, Peter McCullough. I appreciate you, sir. I had a great time, man. It's always great to have you on the show. You're always giving us more information. I always come out of the interview with way more knowledge. I feel way more informed. I feel like I can make better decisions. I actually feel a little bit at peace every time I talk to you, because it just feels great knowing that, like, okay, this is someone who's been so consistent and has so much credibility and is giving me this great, great information. So thank you again for coming on the show. And I look forward to what you got going on the rest of the year. I can't wait for your next book with Mr. John Leek. and for all your next endeavors. Everyone go check out his website and all of his products and everything on there. I put all of his links in the podcast description. Go check that out. And thanks for tuning in. I appreciate you guys. This has been Alternate Take. I am your host, Danny Rodriguez, and I'll see you guys later. Peace.